say. If you a freak, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. This is going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And as we do on Tuesday, we will hand out the grades for the Browns and the Rams. Kind of put the final bow on that one here today. We also are going to get into a little after further review. We're going to hear from Roger Goodell on Mike and Mike. We're going to have Andrew Gribble and Doug Deacon for the roundtable, which will be good at 2 o'clock. And we're going to have your calls and your tweets as well. And our Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day is to give your grades for the rookies this season and how the impact that those rookies have made thus far on the 2015 Cleveland Browns. And I think that'll be an interesting exercise that we get into going forward here today. Not a lot of news. Josh McCown, the team saying yesterday, Mike Pettine saying he is definitively the starter for this team. And if he is able to go on Sunday, he will start for the Cleveland Browns. Saw Josh down in the cafe, definitely feeling better. And I think that Mike Pettine saying yesterday, he might not be able to practice Wednesday, but should be able to go. Hopefully, they hope later in the week. And if that's the case, then Josh McCown would start on Sunday. If he's unable to go, then Johnny Manziel would get another start against the Arizona Cardinals. And hopefully you guys all had an opportunity last night to check in on the Cardinals, who had a last-second victory over the Baltimore Ravens in a game that was, for a while, totally in control by the Cardinals, and then they miss an extra point. They have a punt blocked, almost returned for a touchdown, and it ended up being a last-second nail-biter, 26-18 there. But that's a team with an explosive offense with John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Michael Johnson. Floyd, and then Chris Johnson, who has turned back the clock. Heck, he even has 62-yard runs on plays where he's already been stopped, and he just gets up and keeps going. He can't stop. Won't stop.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you look at last night's football game, and it's something, you know, this is not pointing any finger at anybody, but you look at an Arizona Cardinals team who is, as of this year, I would say, you know, by far and away, played a better football team, or played a better football season thus far, played a better game through three quarters, but how Baltimore did everything they could, and they made that play, and then made another play to make it a football game, to put the ball in the hands of your quarterback.
Yep.
And his ability to go down the field, all the way down the field, manage the clock, use the timeouts properly, and have a shot at the end zone.
And if you don't think clock management is important in the National Football League, all you had to do was watch that game. In a worst-case scenario, the Ravens should have gotten the ball back with 30 seconds, no timeouts, having to go the length of the field.
Right.
They basically got it back with 2 minutes because Andre Ellington picks up a first down, and instead of using his head and just putting his knee on the ground, he goes out of bounds.
Right.
Then on second down, they call a pass play, and instead of just taking the sack or giving up himself, Carson Palmer gets an intentional grounding, which stops the clock. I mean, I couldn't believe that they were – why would you ever give the Ravens that opportunity?
And I believe – for the most part, if I were Bruce Arians, he'd probably like to have those back, as a lot of coaches do on a few plays here or there, and how they managed it. But I believe when you're running hot as a 4-2 football team, you feel like the game is won. You have an utter confidence in your players to execute properly and to make the right decision. And in that case, the players, it backfired in the coach of the face. No, the face of the coach. Thank you. And I really think that it's something that for Bruce Arians and that football team, it's a learning experience for them, and something that will happen again throughout the remainder of the season, where they'll have to make the right decisions and manage that clock, as you mentioned. And in some cases, for this Cardinals football team, who looks, you know, highly likely to win the NFC West, it may in fact happen in the playoffs, where games are very close and every single play, especially in the fourth quarter, comes down to a snap decision.
It certainly does, but the Cardinals get the win. They'll be 5-2 when they come on and take on the Cleveland Browns this Sunday. So 5-2 against 2-5 this Sunday for the Browns and the Cardinals. By the way, I just want to apologize to all the fans out there who believe that I am the reason the Browns are losing, because I got excited that Travis Benjamin made a catch and tiptoed on the sidelines.
That's okay, man.
My bad.
We accept your apology.
My bad.
It's okay. I'm going to watch on TV again now.
You're back?
I'm back.
You were out.
I was out. Like, when I saw you on television, I turned it off.
It was done.
Because I just knew at that point the game's over.
Too much.
Like, I saw too much Nathan
too
on the sideline.
Emotion.
Yeah, too much. I blocked you on Twitter for the rest of the day and for all of Monday.
Did you set your alarm to...
I hope you got on there today. There was some hilarious stuff on there, dude.
Well, I did.
I hope you got back in.
I took a one-day Nathan Zagura moratorium because I couldn't stand to see all the pictures.
That's like my Saturday. That's my Saturday. You know, I get Nathan Monday through Friday and Sundays. So Saturday is my no Nathan day.
It's no Nathan.
And I go all in on the Buckeyes, which is a winning experience.
When you text me on a Saturday, it's like I get concerned.
You're like,
I feel like, who took your phone? What's the deal? What's going on over
exactly.
there? What's going on? So anyway, Dino, sorry about that for forcing you to take a moratorium.
I'll get over it. It's tough.
It's nice to know that I'm so well photographed and on the top of so many people's mind for, you know, getting excited for my guy Travis Benjamin, who's battled back from an ACL and who's having a fantastic season, made an unbelievable catch right in front of me. I was excited.
It was not a catch.
Talk about a guy to root for. I mean, really.
Yeah, big play Gare.
Right.
Did you even see the flag on the field? Why were you even there, bro?
I didn't see. I couldn't because I was where I was at the sideline. I was obstructed by the team to my left right there when Travis made a very, very good catch. He's been, by the way, pretty sensational when you think about it on the deep balls, but not just the ones where he's been open. But you go back to the Denver game, he made that leaping contested
fighting
catch,
for the ball.
Fighting for the ball. And then this one, Tremaine Johnson was draped all over him. It was a great throw by McCown, and he did a great job to catch it and get his toes.
And I think what Travis has done is I think his body control has improved. And this is my, you know, Ohio State reference. Devin Smith, the guy, you know, is, you know, playing now and playing all right for the New York Jets. But was so highly touted on his ability to run the deep ball and then when in the air because of his, you know, his high jump, long jump, you know, past history through high school and then at Ohio State as well, it became, you know, when the ball was in the air, it was going to be his. And it seems to become the case with Travis the more and more we try to get the ball to him down the football field because it's not going to be running, as you mentioned to me last night as we were texting back and forth, with the Saints had a safety about 30 yards deep on every play. Because the deep ball was not going to beat the St. Louis Rams. And that was a part of their game.
So they're playing a cover one, or they could play cover three out of it, or I guess they could adjust in the quarters, or they could really do whatever they want out
right.
of it. But, I mean, I've never seen a team repeatedly go with a single high safety that deep. And he wasn't shading until Trav's side. He was literally staying in the middle of the field. We'd be on the 20, and he would be standing on the logo at the 50.
And that's where, at the point of emphasis in the St. Louis Rams organization, or at least defensively, that week was, the deep ball will not beat us.
We attempted one pass in the air of more than 20 yards, and it was the play that will live in infamy,
right?
According to Twitter.
And I mean, a lot of it has to do with that, because they felt with him deep enough and his ability to take the proper angle, that with the ball in the air, that he can cover enough ground and the coverage underneath would, or, you know, following this receiver would be tight enough to not only be a contested ball where, but he'd be able to make it over there and either get the interception or, like it happens a lot of the time on those deep balls, is the ball gets tipped up in the air and that free safety can make their way over for an interception. So the St. Louis Rams were adamant about not getting beat deep. And that became their point of emphasis, so much so that they lined the guy 30 yards deep.
Yeah, I've never seen that. I've never seen that. I want to go back to asking you one thing about going back to that Cardinals and the Ravens game last night. Most teams in that 2 minute will play a prevent style defense, let people catch it inbounds, and then come up and tackle.
Yep.
The Cardinals were playing zero and bringing the house play after play after play.
It's all about mentality. And it's all about mentality. And I'm not saying you, but I've said to the common fan who thinks you have two defenses in your entire playbook that are considered full-on prevent defenses, meaning, you know, three super deep, three fairly deep, and then three underneath, and you rush your three or four, you know, rushers as well. So there's only a few calls that are true prevent situations, and that's, you know, it all based on the circumstance in the football game. But there are coverage that you can play, like Wade Phillips, we used to call like quarters, but then he'd like quarters off. And he'd give us a call or he'd radio it in and he'd give us like the push away, like the off call, which means at no point is anyone within, you know, linebackers or corners, definitely not safeties, within, you know, 8 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. So you're off. So you're immediately giving him that cushion.
Sure.
And then you start your pedal
back
because as I understand it, the deep ball is very difficult to get in those situations, but the big 19 to 25 to 30 yard chunk plays is the death of the prevent defense.
Sure.
Because they catch the ball in space, you make one guy miss, you take or run out of a bad angle, and you've not only gained 30 yards, but you've now gotten out of bounds. And to not have the team have to use a timeout and keep those to get multiple shots at the end zone when you do get into the red zone is at a premium.
So tell me why this is dumb. So and you can make fun of me all you want for what I'm about to say, and I realize that people are going to laugh at this. But I found, you know, why don't teams in that situation, why don't you rush three, play three safeties deep so you've got the entire field covered deep, and play man everywhere else so there isn't that space to do any of those things. You're covered deep, and everybody's at least marked.
Because in some cases, you don't
want... You're worried about a rub around across the middle of the field.
You're worried about a rub. You're worried about them winning, you know, winning a one-on-one matchup underneath. And yeah, you have the umbrella to make the tackle. But I meant in the 12 to 18 yard zone. You don't want anybody playing man press.
No.
So you're going to be playing man off, which immediately puts you in a chase situation. You know, and if I did anything and I knew that was the case, I'd run double, you know, I'd run a couple deep routes and I'd run double crossers, not even a rub route. But I know that if I got Antonio Brown, you know, in the slot with Kaywan Williams, you know, playing off man, are you not going to throw it to Antonio Brown running across the field with a yard head start on Kaywan Williams?
Sure, but he's got to just trip him up or your safety's coming down to take away the sideline. I mean, you shouldn't be able to get that far.
But it's to secure the tackle. The last thing that you want to do is, you know, is the safety gets, you know, the good quarterbacks in the league will pump that crossing route, get that safety to bite, and that deep route that I just talked about is your ability to run by a guy.
Sure.
You know, and you take your shot down the field, and that's how you lose.
Yeah. The prevent defense, they say, all of that is prevent you
from winning. And in those situations, the emphasis from a defensive standpoint, at least for linebackers and defensive backs, is you always want to have your eyes on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Get back, get your depth, get your eyes on the quarterback, because he's going to take you to the football.
He is going to take you to the football, and hopefully the team's defense and their smarts will take you to victory. By the way, I just want you to know that if the Browns sign you tomorrow and you make a sack in front of me, I'm going to get fired up. I might even give you a hug.
I wouldn't mind it. Yeah. Would I get fined for celebrating with someone besides, like, with like multiple people and get fined for that?
It could be like an organized celebration.
Excessive celebration.
If you gave me like a five, I'd be like, whoop, psych, can't do it. Can't do it, won't do it. Can't do it. Sorry about that. All right, when we come back here, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Also, we'll talk a little Cavs today. Cavs season kicks off. Are they winning at all? Is this the year?
Come on, man.
I certainly hope so.
Oh, by the way, Arizona's moved up to number three defense in the National Football League. Sorry, not sixth.
And what are they offensively?
They dropped from fourth to seventh last night.
All right, so seventh and third.
Instead of fourth and sixth.
Still adds up to 10, as I see it.
I was just going to say, average it out, bro.
Average it out. They're still averaging top five in the National Football League. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.